But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Chapter 3. A mine? Echo asks, barely breathing. They're definitely not going to be that lucky, John thinks. A mine he could deal with. This? The stairs shudder under them, one stomach-churning jolt that feels like the twitch of an animal's hide, shaking off an insect. John takes half a second to calculate, to feel, and the stair beneath his foot gives way. Behind him, Five shouts and Echo yelps, reaching for him. His stair is still whole, still in place, but it's one of the few. John has half a second to realize before he's falling, and so is Five's. No! Echo shouts, but John doesn't have time to look, to so much as glance back. They're tumbling through the darkness, and he can hear the impact of stone on metal, knows there's nothing good waiting for them at the bottom. Above, he can feel Echo still standing, still steady, even if he's frantic and he curses, then twists. Fives is a tangle of terror and anger right above him, and John gets a foot on a piece of stone, uses that small bit of momentum to launch himself up and grab Fives around the waist. Fives hisses, but grabs him in return, hanging on tightly as John flips them over, slows their fall as he gets a hand on his lightsaber. And in the wash of green light that ignites, John has just enough time to see the metal spikes rising to meet them. Fives shouts, arms going strangling tight, but John doesn't hesitate. He twists, gets a foot on the edge of each spike as they hit them, and shoves hard, launching them back up into the air and towards the far wall. It's too high to jump in one go, but John gets a foot on the stone of the wall, jumps again, and flips them over. Grab, he says, and throws Five right at the narrow ledge of stone Echo is standing on. With an offended yelp, Fives goes flying just as John's momentum fails. He tumbles back down, but Fives gets a hand on the remaining step, Echo running to grab him, and John lets out a breath of relief, closes his eyes, concentrating for just a moment, and feels the spikes approaching again. Without another person's weight, it's easy to slow himself enough to land lightly on one of the chunks of fallen stone, caught precariously between the spikes, balanced there as the last of the rubble rains down. John? Echo calls, the sound reverberating through the darkness. I'm here, John calls back. There isn't enough light to see far, but he can make out the sheer walls, covered in thick, woody vines. If there are any passages leading away, he can't make them out. And the air down here is still, stagnant enough to make him think that there aren't any. There's a sound of exasperation from above him. We don't have any ropes, Echo says, just as a pool of light kindles. Fives' helmet lights, likely. John can see them sweeping the darkness. That's fine. John eyes the vines, then reaches out, feeling the force within them. Dark Woman was always better at the manipulation of plant life, but her lessons tended to stick, regardless of John's skill. They hurt too much not to. With a rustle, the thickest of the vines rises, and John grabs it, then deactivates his lightsaber and clips it to his belt. Getting a firm grip on the vine, he hauls himself up, hand over hand, boots bracing against the slippery moss as best as he can manage. At the very least, he thinks, a touch ruefully, it will keep his muscles from locking up with the cold. It's a long climb, and by the time he reaches the top, his muscles are burning, breath coming short and hard in his chest. John judges the last few feet, the fact that Echo and Fives are both on the other side of the stair, and then grits his teeth and shoves off the wall. The force gives him just enough momentum to catch the edge of the stone, and he swings himself up, then sits down, hard, closing his eyes. At least it was him and not Nico. Nico would have hated that much physical exertion. John! A hand touches his shoulder, grips, and John looks up into Five's face. He has his helmet tucked under one arm, casting light around them, and the pressure of his hand is grounding, tight. John tips his head, looks at Echo standing behind him, equally worried. All right, he asks them, and Five scoffs. I think we should be asking you that, he says. You climbed that? Echo makes a low sound of amusement, stepping closer. Good thing it wasn't General Skywalker, he says, amused. He has less upper body strength than Commander Tano. Yeah, but so does everyone. Commander Tano can bench press me, Fives points out, but he gives John a crooked smile. That's two I owe you now, and a stop touching things that I owe Echo. Echo makes a sound of deep offense. I was just walking, he says. Anyone could have triggered that. It was likely meant for the defenders to be able to activate, John says, looking out into the darkness. He can see another step that hasn't fallen, right at the edge of the light. A Jedi could get across, but not foot soldiers. Echo grimaces. Not without jetpacks, he agrees, and then hesitates. If you need to go ahead without us... No, John says quietly, cutting him off. I can get you across. I'm not leaving you behind. Fives and Echo exchange glances John can't read. If you're sure, Echo says after a moment. He sinks down, one leg dangling over the edge, the other pulled up against his chest, and breathes out. A rueful sound. Two traps, and we haven't even made it out of the main part of the temple yet. This is gonna be fun. John snorts, flexing his hands. The vine's woody trunk tore his gloves, and he pulls them off, resigned to going without. They were wet, anyway. This was a temple meant for craftsmen. There wouldn't have been many of them, even at the height of things. Not enough to stand against an invading army of Sith lords and their soldiers? Fives asks. And when John tips his head, he grimaces. No wonder they went with booby traps. Any idea how deep in the temple this weapon you're looking for is? Echo asks. If there are more traps further in, you might need General Skywalker's help and General Kenobi's. No, John says flatly. Skywalker is Sidious's pet project, and he'll be lucky if he escapes all of this without Fae erasing big chunks of his memory as it is. John isn't about to feed Sidious knowledge of the method they're going to use to defeat him. No other Jedi. This is my task. Echo frowns, but Fives is watching John, a thoughtful frown on his face. It's that much of a secret, but you stopped to fix me. John doesn't look at him, looks down at his hands instead. You would have died if I hadn't, he says simply. The larger picture of the war is important, but there's no use winning if we lose ourselves in the process. Whoever I can save, I will. Well, Echo murmurs, but there's an odd look on his face. We appreciate it. With a grimace, John rises to his feet, having caught his breath well enough for now. I'll lift you across the gap, he says, and there's an itch under his skin that makes him want to move, to keep moving until it goes away. Faintly surprised, Fives rises as well, offering Echo a hand and pulling him to his feet once he takes it. "You can do that?" he asks. "It's a long way." John inclines his head. "If I lift you one at a time," he says. And maybe most Jedi couldn't, but John has plenty of strength and a control that Dark Woman honed with brutal efficiency. He could manage this half-dead and concussed. Cold and a little tired is hardly a handicap at all in comparison. "I'll go first," Fives volunteers with a grin. He tosses his helmet to Echo, then straightens, eyeing the gap. "Do you want me to jump?" John considers, then nods shortly. "If you're willing," he says. "Momentum will help." "Not that I can get a lot like this," Fives says, but glances at John. "Ready?" John raises his hands, takes a breath to center himself. Emotion is a distraction, leeches strength. Focus brings clarity and ability with it. "Yes," he says, and Fives rocks back on his heels, then launches himself forward out into empty space. John doesn't work with other people much. Works with people who aren't Jedi even more infrequently, and never with people who are so willing to trust his abilities. It's a flare like shock or maybe horror, but John bleeds them out, reaches, catches. Fives sails across the gap, drops to land lightly on the stone, and doesn't even waver as he straightens. When he turns back and waves, John lets out a soft huff, amused and relieved, and glances at Echo. "Jedi have no problem with heights, do they?" Echo says, smiling a little. He hesitates over the helmet he's holding, but after a moment, John holds out his hands for it. "No," he says. "We always know we can catch ourselves." Echo nods, accepting that, and curls his fingers more tightly over Five's helmet for a moment before he reaches out, setting it in John's hands. "Careful with that," he says quietly. John touches one of the markings on the brow, like mandibles, and inclines his head, like agreeing to hold onto someone's identity he knows, and says, "Of course." Echo's smile is quick and warm, and he turns towards Fives, then says, "Tell me when." "Go," John says quietly, raising a hand, and Echo launches himself forward. A touch of extra force propels him across the gap, and John steadies him, slows his leap at the last second, so he can land easily. Then, with a hard shove, he follows, twisting over in the air and coming down lightly on the stone. There's nothing else beyond it, but the lip of the pit is obvious, and John vaults over the edge, tumbles over, and lands 5 meters below in a crouch. The floor here feels solid, and he straightens, then reaches up. "I'm lifting you down," he says, and Echo flashes him a hand sign that's probably an affirmative. Carefully, John picks them up, then lowers them, and they land on either side of him with light thumps. "That was definitely the least fun I've ever had with stairs," Five says, and grins at John when he offers him his helmet back. "Thanks for that and the save." John just nods, glancing at Echo. Echo's watching him, thoughtful, but he holds John's gaze for a half moment and then looks away into the darkness ahead of them. "Which way?" he asks. "Right," John says, and checks the floor ahead of them. He can't see any sign of traps or sense any danger, but the traps weren't built with malicious intent, and that makes them hard to identify. They're all defenses, not attacks. And John is glad for that, but at the same time, it's mildly aggravating. "What's next?" a pack of wild rancors? Fives jokes. But he has his blaster close at hand as he follows John closely.
I hope not, Echo says with a grimace.
John snorts quietly.
I can deal with rancors, he says. I can't deal with the temple falling down on top of us.
That'll be next, then, Echo mutters, all resigned humor. All of this, and the Sith never even made it here. That seems like a waste.
Better that they didn't, John says.
And even with the temple in this state, even with centuries between its occupation and now, it's still almost impossible to imagine the Sith overrunning it, taking it. Not just for the weapons they would have gained, but for the crafters, for the knowledge contained here. Once the war is over, John will give the High Council a map to this place, or lead them here himself, and see to it that all of that knowledge is restored to the Jedi, that they can reclaim it. There are so many lost temples, closed long ago. Not just in the core, not just in the midrim, but out here, deep in the outer rim. John would like to see them opened again one day, restored and restaffed. The people of the outer rim have only had tales of the Jedi for too long, have been without help. It's the main reason John agreed to the plan to fake their deaths, to go underground. No one was helping the people out here except for them, and he wasn't about to turn his back on that duty. Reaching out, John gently brushes a touch across the pale stone of the walls, then lets out a breath.
There's a vault here, he says, with kyber crystals from across the galaxy, and all the other stones and crystals the Jedi have used to create lightsabers. If the Sith had taken it,
they could still take it, if John isn't careful. That's why he's the only Jedi here. Other stones? Fives asks, startled. I thought it was just kyber crystals they used. John shakes his head, can't help but smile a little. He remembers, with perfect clarity, how it felt to craft his lightsaber, picking the hilts, finding the crystal. One thing he can share with all Jedi, regardless of how he was raised. And that's good, comforting.
Master Windu uses a hurricane crystal given to him by the natives of the planet, he says. I've met Jedi who use crate dragon pearls or gems from their homeworlds. A lightsaber is the extension of the Jedi and reflects as much.
Crate dragon pearls? Fives asks and grins. That's what General Skywalker should have gone with. He's always talking about the crate dragons on Tatooine and how he'd fight them off. John snorts.
Given that he left Tatooine when he was 9, he says dryly, I doubt it.
What? Five stares at him for a second, and then his features shift into something deeply offended. He swore! Echo smothers a snicker, patting Fives on the shoulder, and sidesteps his elbow jab in retaliation.
Got caught believing tall tales like a shiny, huh? He asks, and Fives pulls a face at him.
He's the general, he protests. How was I supposed to know? I thought all Jedi did things like that.
Many do, John says, perfectly bland. I fought a Terran tactic when I was 16.
Aren't they Jedi killers? Echo demands, horrified, and then pauses. His eyes narrow, and he looks over John warily.
Wait.
John doesn't let so much as a flicker of the truth show on his face. He just raises a brow, watching Echo as Fives tries to muffle his laughter, and then keeps moving. From behind him, there's a brief hissed argument.
the sound of elbows hitting plastoid, and then a few rapid steps to catch up as John starts down another flight of stairs. "You didn't," Echo accuses, falling in on his left.
"I don't know. I'd say he did,"
Five says from his right, grinning.
"Well,
didn't anyone tell you not to ruin the magic?" John asks mildly and keeps moving, senses trained for any hint of a trap.
"Okay, but a Terran tactic?"
Echo repeats.
"At 16? Alone?"
"I never said I was alone," John tells him. Dark Woman had watched, after all. John still can't tell if she would have stepped in if things had gone badly. But at least she would have prevented it from escaping and rampaging through the area.
"Oh."
Echo still sounds suspicious, but he looks ahead of them, sweeping a wary gaze over the rest of the stairs.
"How far down do we have to go?"
John shakes his head. "I don't know where the vault is," he says. "Somewhere beneath us."
"The Force doesn't come with a holo map. You should ask for a refund."
Fives jokes, though he's noticeably careful with each step as they descend. "I can at least tell that we should take the next left," John says, "though a map would be nice." He feels a flicker of something off and holds out his arms, stopping Echo and Fives in their tracks, and then says, "The roots grow through a crack in the stone on the next stair and nowhere else."
"Trap,"
Echo concludes grimly, and shifts back, judging the distance.
"Just the next one?"
John crouches down, curling his fingers through the delicate stems of the plants growing along the edge of the wall. He can sense their roots, their reach for the earth beneath, and they grow deeper here than anywhere else, even though they shouldn't. The one after that feels normal, though, and John rises, then gets a grip on Echo and Fives with the Force, just in case, and jumps. He lands at the bottom of the flight of stairs, and the ground stays solid under his feet. The hiss of Fives' breath is all relief.
"Oh, good," he says. "No more crumbling staircases. I like this plan."
With a quiet snort, John lifts his hands, picking them both up and setting them down beside him.
"Not yet," he says,
and Fives huffs.
"You're a ray of sunshine, you know that?"
he asks, looking around them.
"Fives,"
Echo says, annoyed, and shoots John a quick smile.
"Ignore him. They kept him in his growth tank too long."
John just shrugs. It's hardly the worst he's ever heard, and he can tell Fives doesn't mean it maliciously. "Up here," he says, giving in to the insistent tug. "There's a hallway." Echo grimaces, one hand close to his blaster as they approach the darkened opening.
"Charming,"
he says. "No lights?" Pausing at the edge of it, John frowns. When he raises a hand, he can feel a faint hum in the air, something low and steady that feels familiar. He touches the Force, touches the Source. With a flickering wash, light rises. Kyber crystals set into the walls shimmer to life, a flood of pale golden light filling the corridor. And John lowers his hand and smiles a little, taking a step in. He brushes his fingers over the closest crystal, a tangible reminder of what this temple was for, and says,
"Apparently there are."
When he glances back, Fives and Echo are trading meaningful looks, intent and furtive, with whole conversations in their expressions. They don't say anything, though. So John dismisses it, drawing his hand back, and starts down the hall with their steps right behind him. It's narrow, the ceiling low, but the Kyber's glow keeps it from being strangling. John still has to duck his head, but it's less of a pain than it could be. How'd you feel that thing? Fives asks. And when John glances back, he has both hands on his blaster, projecting an air of, not touching anything, that makes a flicker of amusement rise in John's chest. With the plants, I thought things had to be sentient for Jedi to touch their minds. Consitor Sato, John says, channeling life energy into plants. My master practically rediscovered the ability. It's rare these days. There's a pause, and then Echo says, I didn't realize the Jedi could do things like that. John breathes out, keeping his eyes fixed ahead of him. The Jedi are fading, he says bluntly, and the Republic is sliding towards darkness. Many things have been lost. The war powers being granted to the Chancellor were what first made Nico worry. Special, right up until there were dozens of them, handed over by scared and desperate senators, sending the whole Republic sliding further into darkness. Nico had thought, at the beginning, that someone was simply pulling Palpatine's strings. None of them had realized that Palpatine was Sidious until Maul revealed it. And then everything fell into place. Their work won't end with killing Sidious. Not if they want to save the Jedi Order and the Republic as a whole. And John is fully aware of that. But it's a start. Things like temples? Fives asks, moving just a little closer. I've only heard of the one on Coruscant and the one on that Kyber crystal planet. Ilium. John finishes for him. The first Jedi temple was built in the unknown regions, not the core. The Jedi spread inward, not outward, but the older temples have mostly been abandoned. He traces an etching inlaid with a golden kyber crystal, then pulls his hand away and takes a breath. They've been lost, and old skills with them. My master collects forgotten abilities, but there are many she hasn't found, many that no one will ever find now. Oh, Echo says, soft. I guess it's hard to tell it's that bad. It's not, largely. John skirts a cracked floor tile, keeping his steps light. Those who remember stay quiet, and the Jedi continue. But not everyone is content with that. Fae and Tra-Sa had a falling out over it 2 centuries ago, and that was when Fae left the main temple. Nico levied for more proactive measures against the slave trade, but was overruled by the Senate and their connections to the Hutts. Noel pushed strongly for reforms in the Senate itself, following the near destruction of her home system, and was shunted out on missions as far from the core as possible in response. Things are broken. It isn't the Jedi's doing, because the Jedi are leashed and muzzled and little more than a tool now. But if they can change the order... One of the kyber crystals in the wall shimmers, and John feels a flicker like dread curl down his spine. He freezes, and Echo and Fives instantly go still behind him. John? Fives asks warily. Distantly, growing louder, there's a rumble. Carking bantha shit! Echo hisses and turns, bringing his blaster up. The wolves rumble. Shift. Move. Run! John says, and puts word to action, bolting down the hallway as the walls close in. Not a metaphor, and not slowly. And John has no idea what set off this trap, but there's still at least half the length of the corridor to go. But the walls are already a good foot closer than they were just seconds ago. What the hell? Fives complains, ducking a rain of dirt that falls. He staggers, boots sliding on the sandy floor, and John pauses just long enough to grab his arm and haul him up and forward, just as another kyber crystal flickers. John catches light out of the corner of his eye, and his heart leaps into his throat. Kyber crystals on either side of the wall, matched sets, and he only has one lightsaber, can't block both sides. He shifts his grip, throws Fives forward past him, and tackles Echo just as the man pulls level with him. They hit the ground hard, and right above their heads, a beam of yellow energy shoots across the hall like a lightsaber blade. "Fracking Swamp Toad Bolt Brain," Fives says, and scrambles to his feet. "Is that a lightsaber?"
"The next best thing," John says grimly, and hauls Echo back to his feet. All along the corridor, there are flickers of light, and he assesses for half a second, but they're igniting as the walls close. When a pair of crystals gets close enough together, they trigger. If this keeps going, the whole wall will be full in minutes. John sets his jaw, sets his feet, takes a deep breath, then raises his hands. "When I give you the signal, run," he says.
"But..." Five starts, but John closes his eyes, reaches for the force, and slams his palm hard against one wall. It's an impossible weight, and given force by the mechanisms pushing it. John's lifted buildings that were easier, and the strain stings sharp against his nerves, but he doesn't let himself waver. He can't stop the walls from closing, but he can at least slow them. "Go," he grits out, and Echo makes a sound of protest, takes a step forward, only to have Fives grab his arm and drag him down the hall at a run. It's just in time. Behind them, one after another, the beams ignite and the walls inch shut. John can't quite fight a groan because it feels like the worst sort of exertion. And he can't stop the press. Staggers back, palm still on the stone, and feels the other wall meet his back with a cold surge of resignation. Feels Echo stumble, falter, and the last beam ignite just as he and Fives reach it and wants to curse. Fives kicks Echo's feet out from under him at a dead run, and they slide sideways under the last blade and out into the open just before the walls slam shut.